Welcome to the Sermon Podcast of Coosada Baptist Church. We want to be a lighthouse to guide you on your journey through life. Listen as our pastor, Dr. Jim Graham, shares a message from God's Word and offers sound biblical direction for your daily life.
So good to be with you this morning. We are walking through the book of 1 Samuel together, and today we're in chapter 15. And I entitled this message, The Sound of Disobedience. Sound of disobedience. The key verse is verse 22. In verse 22, Samuel is talking to Saul. Samuel's the prophet, God's spokesman. Saul is the king that God chose to lead his people. And this is what Samuel said to Saul in verse 22. Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. Here's what he's saying. For you and I, as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, there are general instructions that apply to everybody in this room. Everybody. Should I go to church? Sure. Should I read my Bible? Absolutely. Should I pray? Yes. Are there certain commands that are for all of us? You know, don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal, of course. There are good things we should do. Love my family, work hard at my job. There are so many things that are general instructions that apply to everybody in the room. What I want to talk to you about today is the personal instructions. There are things that you're not going to directly find in Scripture. It's because you're dealing with a very specific situation. And God gives you very specific instructions about that. And this happens all the time in life, right? It's not the general stuff. You're not asking, what do I do? How do I live my life? You're asking, what do I do about this? Like, I've got this. I've got this relationship thing, or I've got this, personal battle I'm going through. I've got this thing. And so you're asking God to speak to that. Now, I want you to tell you, God doesn't just speak to you when you ask Him. Sometimes God gives you some kind of command, you know, out of the blue. He's like, hey, need your attention. I need to give you some direction. I want to tell you which way to go. I want to tell you what to do about this. And as He is Lord of my life, He's going to do that. He's going to give me personal instructions outside of the realm of the general instructions that apply to everybody. So here's what I want to talk to you about today. What do you do with those? What do you do with personal instructions? So when you read this verse, and Samuel's talking to Saul, this is what he's talking about. He's asking the question to obey. Is it better to obey God, or is it better to do all the stuff you know to do for Him, the burnt offerings, the sacrifices, all that? And then he makes the statement. Actually, to obey God is more important than just those things. I mean, if you obey God, you're going to do those things. But you can come to church, basically obey the big Ten Commandments, be a good person, and generally follow God 90% of the time. You get a B+. What does that really mean? So in our passage, Saul gets a personal command. He gets a direct command, a very specific thing. Now I'm just going to warn you. The command that I'm going to read has its own issues. It's one of those debatable things that people get into a lot, and we could spend a whole sermon talking about these instructions. And if you want to discuss them, we'll discuss them, but that's not the point of the message today. The point of the message is what to do about the instructions. But these instructions, I'm going to tell you, are very difficult, all right? They're instructions like, why would God have a flood that would kill all of mankind? Like, all those kind of things. All right, so in chapter 15 in verse 2, here's the instructions. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies has declared. I have decided to settle accounts with the nation of Amalek for opposing Israel when they came from Egypt. Now, go and completely destroy the entire Amalekite nation, men, women, children, babies, cattle, sheep, goats, camels, and donkeys. And I know you're thinking, Jim, What a great verse to read on Parent-Child Dedication Day. Your timing is impeccable. Okay, difficult order to deal with. Why does God allow destruction? Why does he even prescribe destruction? But we're going to look at Saul, how Saul handled these instructions, okay? So the first thing I want you to note is God's command is clear. These are clear instructions. So I'm not going to talk to you today about like when you don't, I don't know what God wants me to do. I'm just not sure what God wants me to do. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, you know exactly what God wants you to do. You know exactly what he doesn't want you to do. Don't do that. Here's what you should say. Here's what you should not say. Like whatever the situation, you know what God is expecting of you. You know what he's asking you to do. The problem is you're not all on board with it. His instructions are unmistakably clear. There's no room for creative interpretation. Saul wasn't asked to debate it, to analyze it, to adjust it, to approve it. It was just to obey it. Pearlie and I were watching a movie about a week or so ago, and it was a there was military stuff. So, you know, Veterans Day's coming up, and I was thinking about the military, and I paused the movie in the middle of it, and I actually said to her, I said, this is why the military, they get an order, they need to say yes, sir, and they just have to do it, because they don't have time to do what I do. I get an order, and I go, well, why are we doing that? Can I get an explanation with that? It used to drive my parents crazy when I was growing up. You know, Jim, you need to do this. Why? Right? Why are we doing that? Like, now, the bottom line of that, the problem with that is when I was asking why, I didn't want to just know the reason so I could know the reason. I wanted to know the reason so I could approve or disapprove of the order. Right? Like, I want to know if your reasons are good for why we're doing this, so I can decide whether I'm on board or not. So this is problematic, because I serve a Lord who sometimes gives me whys, but sometimes he doesn't. You know, so is he Lord or not? Like, is he in charge or not? Have I submitted to him or not? This is the difficulty with this situation. But I want you to know that God's commands aren't suggestions. They're invitations to trust his wisdom above our own. Like, am I in a situation where I go, look, God, I don't always understand, I don't always even agree, and in fact, some of the stuff you tell me is actually quite difficult. In fact, most of the time it is. Most of the time, when I get some personal directive from God, it's not something where he's coming to me telling me something that I just am dying to do. Like, I'm so excited he's telling me that. It's usually something that he's having to get my attention to go like, Jim, you're not going to handle this right. Like, you go with your own thing. You're not going to do this right. This, on the other hand, is what I want you to do. It's difficult. And the question is, and what we get into is what I'll call partial obedience. Or I'm going to even use another word, pragmatic obedience. He doesn't do what he says he's supposed to, what God tells him to do. God says, wipe them out. Verses 8 and 9, this is what it tells us he does. He took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive. And all his people he totally destroyed with the sword. But Saul and the army spared Agag and the best of the sheep and cattle. So he's supposed to do everything, but he didn't destroy everything. He obeyed enough to look obedient, but not enough to be obedient. He gets an 89. B+. Here's the thing about a B+. It looks pretty good compared to everybody else. Like, I'm not an F. Look, let's just face it. There are D's and F's out there. There are people, they're not in church today. They're not reading their Bible. They're not praying. They're not following God. And they're definitely not following God 90% of the time. They're not doing it, okay? You know, they're flunking. Me, on the other hand, I got an A-. Like, I'm doing most of the things that God wants me to do. The question is that enough? Is that what he wants? Is that really following Christ? It literally says, in regards to the sheep and the cattle and stuff, it literally says they were unwilling. They were unwilling. They looked at it. It was just too hard to do it. They wanted it for themselves. It says it even. It says that it appealed to them. The rest of verse 9 is this: they spared the best of the sheep and goats, the cattle, the fat calves, the lambs, everything that appealed to them. They destroyed only what was worthless and of poor quality. I heard your command, Lord. I heard it, but I'm not willing to do it. I don't want to do that. I've done most of it. I did mostly what you asked, but not all of it. And then we've got the king. He kills all the people, but not the king. I wonder why he did that. I don't know. Did he not want to set a precedent for kings because he was a king? Did he want the king to stay alive so he could visibly submit to him in front of everybody? I don't know why. I just know he didn't do what God wanted him to do. And what we have to understand is that partial obedience is just disguised rebellion. They obeyed where it was easy and disobeyed where it was costly. It's pragmatic obedience. It's doing what seems right for the most part and expecting God to be satisfied. And we got a problem. I'll forgive, Lord, but not that person. Not that situation. But I'm a very forgiving person. I forgive 90% of the time. But what about when God says, I want you to let that go? Or we're generous. And we give and we're generous most of the time until it costs that much. We're obedient most of the time. The question I have is it really obedience? Is it really obedience if what I do is everything you can see, it looks like I'm obedient? Again, I go to church, I read my Bible, I pray, I'm generally a good person, I do mostly the good things. I mean, every once in a while, one of us, you know, we all get sideways every once in a while, but for the most part, I'm doing the right thing. Here's the rub. He's going, all right, you're doing all the stuff that I tell everybody to do, but now I'm giving you very specific instructions about a very specific situation. And in those times, you take that and you don't do it. You don't do that. You mostly do it. My argument is that not the essence of what it means to follow Him as Lord of my life? Let me pose an argument to you. If I don't really do it when it's that 5%, right? If I don't really do those, if those are the times I question Him, I argue with Him, I don't do them. And the rest of the 95%, am I really obeying God or am I just doing what I want to do? So in truth is, He's not Lord of my life. I'm Lord of my life. And that's my worry. That's my worry for everyone in this room. Is we mostly follow God. But not when it really counts. Not when it really boils down to it. Not the little things that really affect my life. When he's trying to give me direction. And it's those times where it's hard. It's not what I want to hear. Now I'm going to tell you, when we're bought in, I want to tell you what it looks like. Okay? When I'm bought in, I want you to know, as just personal testimony, I still don't like it. I just do it. When I'm bought in, I still don't like it, but I do it. I'm like, all right, God, I don't understand this one. I don't like that you're challenging me in this way. That's not what I want to do. But you're God and I'm not, and I don't get it, but I'm going to do it. And maybe I don't even have the best attitude about it. I know I should obey with joy. I don't always do that. But really, if He's Lord of my life, I do it because I trust Him and I'm going to do it. When He's not Lord of my life, you know what I do? I make excuses. I give reasons. I argue. And I don't do it. And so what God does is He does what He does in this situation. He calls us out. He'll call you out. In Saul's life,
First step, he grieves. He uses the word regret. And I want you to know that God's grief is real. And I do want a side note here, because sometimes you read in Scripture that God regrets. We see this in verse 10. He uses the word regrets. When God says he regrets something, doesn't mean he made a mistake. Oh, I blew that one. No, it means he grieves. It hurts his heart when you and I don't trust him enough to obey him. It hurts his heart. It says, then the word of the Lord came to Samuel. I regret that I've made Saul king because he's turned away from me and has not carried out my instructions. He regrets it. Divine sorrow. You go on to read that Samuel wept all night. Because here's my person. They say they trust me. They say they believe me. They do mostly what I want them to do. But they're actually a B student. Did you ever have a pass-fail class when you were going through school? Those are awful. Pass-fail. No, I mean in your mind, if you think the pass-fail mark is a 60, you're fine with that. I'm going to pass, right? Most classes, it's A or a B or a C or a D. What if you had to have an A or you fail? What if you were in the type of course that you've got to make this kind of grade? Some of you do that. Some of you went through something and you had to take some level of test for certification that's really hard that most people can't pass. And if you can't pass it, you flunk. You don't get the certification. That's really hard. It's pass-fail. This pass-fail. You either obey God or you don't obey God. You don't get a grade of a B+ for mostly obeying God. It's not real. It's pretend. We're not really obeying God. We're not really following God. We follow God when it's easy, when it doesn't cost too much. We're willing to pay some cost. I mean, look, I get up and come to church every Sunday, right? And I gotta get ready. I gotta block out that time. I could be doing something else, but I think it's valuable. So I do it, right? And he wants me to do it, right? And I do other things. I give my money to the church. I serve. I do several things. But then I got this situation, and God says, Jim, now listen to me. Listen to me. I know what you want to do, but here's what I'm telling you to do. Now, what do we do then? When it's difficult. What Saul did was he didn't obey, and then he goes through all the things that we tend to do. First, he denies it. He just denies it. He straight up just... Denial is the first instinct of a guilty heart. Did you do it? I didn't do it. This is how when Samuel walks up, he immediately feels guilty. Saul feels guilty. First thing he says, verse 13, when Samuel reached him, Saul said, "The Lord bless you. I have carried out the Lord's instructions." It's the first thing he says. "Hey, Samuel, just want you to know, I'm on board. I'm following God." Literally, every one of you, you walk up to me, that's the vibe you give off to me. It's the vibe you're going to give off. "Hey, Brother Jim, just want you to know, I'm on board. I'm a Christ follower. He's Lord of my life." That's what we want to say. Then Samuel calls him out. And he calls him, and the reason I entitled this sermon "The Sound of Disobedience" is he goes, "Well, if it is," he says, then, verse 14, "then what is this bleating of sheep in my ears, and what is this lowing of cattle that I hear?" Like, if you've been obedient, why do I hear sheep? Why do I hear cows? Well, what is that? So the first thing he does, like, "I haven't done anything wrong. Like, I'm doing what God says. And I just want you to know that God will call you out." "Really? Well, I hear something." "What's that?" "Like, if you're A+ following me, you're following me even when it's inconvenient, when it's uncomfortable. Why? Because you trust me. You know I'm the Lord God Almighty, and you know that I would not direct you wrong, that I love you, that I care about you, that I'm telling you stuff, and sometimes I tell you hard stuff, but you're on board. You're on board. You might even not like it. But you're on board. You're going to be obedient because you trust me. When you don't do that, I want to tell you there's a sound of disobedience, and he'll call you out. Really? Why do I hear cows? Second thing he does, he spiritualized it. This is what he tells Samuel. Verse 15, the soldiers brought them from the Amalekites. Notice, the soldiers brought them. I didn't do it. They did it. They spared the best of the sheep and cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God, but we totally destroyed the rest. My parents thought I was going to be a lawyer when I grew up, not a preacher. They're very similar, I got to say. But he said, like, you know, I'm like, you, as they said, because you just like to argue, right? It's like I had this, one of my children one time kicked his brother. One brother kicked the other brother right in front of me. I saw it. And I said to him, why did you kick your brother? And he said, I didn't kick him. I said, I saw you kick him. You kicked him. I didn't kick him. I said, what do you call what you just did then that I saw? He said, I pushed him with my foot. And I just went, well, it's a sound argument. I get it. Gonna have to have a physics class over force times motion times. It's gonna be a long court battle. It'll be a lot. We'll have to bring experts in. We need video evidence. Right? I'm obeying. I don't kick my brother. Sometimes I push him with my foot. This is who we are, people. This is who we are. When God calls us out, I hear cows though. Well, I know you told us to do all of it. We did most of it, and we're doing it for God. It is amazing that you and I sometimes go, I was disobedient to God, but I did it for God. Now, I don't think we make that argument to God. We know better. But we'll make it to each other. See, if Samuel buys it, I'm off the hook. If Brother Jim buys it, I'm off the hook. If my family buys it, I'm off the hook. If I can make the argument that what I'm really doing is not dishonoring God, but I'm really doing something that God would approve of and you approve of it, then I'm free and clear. What's most important is what you think, not real obedience. He spiritualized it. Samuel responds to him and he says, to obey is better than sacrifice. He don't want your sacrifice. He wants your obedience. He changed the rules. Verse 20. I did obey the Lord. I went on the mission the Lord assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag, their king. See the legal shenanigans there, right? I did it. I went on the mission. I did what he said. I mean, okay, on the animal thing, maybe I get an 85. But on the people thing, I get a 99. I just kept one of them. Twisted obedience, still disobedience. I did obey, but reveals a heart that wants credit, but without submission. I want credit. I went on the mission. I did 99% of what he told me to do. What's the part you didn't do? I'll tell you the part I didn't do. I didn't do the part that I didn't want to do. Okay, if that's your response, then who is God? Who is Lord? If what you do is mostly, almost all the time, what God wants me to do, that's what I do. Until it's not what I want to do. And then I do what I want to do. He changed it. He excused it. He's already been building to it. They got it. They did it. Verse 24. I have sinned. This sounds like a confession. I have sinned. I violated the Lord's commands and your instructions. Why did I do it? Not because I wanted to do it. Nobody says that to me. Nobody looks at me and says, I'm just going to be honest with you, Brother Jim. The reason I did it is because that's what I wanted to do. Right? The reason I didn't do it is because I didn't want to. That's why. I didn't want to do it. That's not what we do. We give a reason, some excuse. This is the excuse he gave. I sinned. I violated the Lord's commands. I didn't do what he told me to do. I was afraid of the men, so I gave in to them. There's a cost. There's a cost to what I'm going to do, all right? And I know if I do what God tells me to do, I'm going to make them mad, or I'm going to make God mad. I measured the cost, and right now I decided I'd rather make God mad than them mad. And I'm going to tell you, that formula right there will cause a lot of disobedience in our lives. It will. The here and now, what I'm dealing with, I don't want to upset this relationship. I want to have a problem here. I'd rather keep peace here. Yeah, but God said, well, I'll just deal with God later. Maybe I can convince God that following him 90% is good enough and he'll let me off the hook because this is going to be problematic. I'm just going to tell you something. When God gave you the instruction, he knew it was going to be problematic with that person. He knew it. He knew when he gave Saul these instructions that Saul was going to have to look at his men and say, I know normally you go into battle and you get the spoils of war. You get to take, you know, the best of whatever. But not this time. We're not doing it. And they're going to go, oh, what? Why are we doing that? And he's supposed to say, because the Lord said so, that's what we're doing. If you disobey it, it's on you, but I'm giving the order. This is what we're doing, right? And he's going to have to deal with the problem with them. They're not going to be happy about it. That's what he expects us to do. But what we do is like, oh, I don't want to have this problem. So we don't obey God. Fear of people can and often replaces fear of God. It will do it all the time. Fear of people will replace fear of God. And when that happens, I told my staff this week, when that happens, leadership will collapse. It'll collapse in your home. It'll collapse in your workplace. It'll collapse all across the board. If you let fear of them over supersede fear of him, then you'll start doing what they say and not what he says anytime there's a conflict. Doesn't work. Then lastly, what he did was he covered it up. This is the request he makes. Samuel won't let him off the hook. He's a man of God. He's not going to let him off the hook. So in verse 30, we get to the final thing, and he says to him, he said, okay, I've sinned, but please honor me before the elders of my people. Don't call me out. Can we just let it go? Can it just, it's not real repentance, in other words. It is not real repentance when we say, look, I'm sorry, but I don't want to pay any consequences. I don't want anybody to know. What I want you to do is just let it go and let's move on, never to deal with it again. He wasn't really after forgiveness. He was after image control. It's not repentance. It's reputation management. I have sinned. Now can we move on before anybody notices? It's not real repentance. And we do that all the time too. Where we claim, I messed up, I blew it, I whatever, but let's just move on. Listen, disobedience is always more costly than obedience ever will be. We need to understand something. Listen, obedience is costly, but disobedience is always more costly than obedience. When we believe that, we'll obey. Part of the dilemma is disobedience in the moment seems less costly, but in the big picture, it is always more costly. Are we willing to obey? Sometimes, I'm going to tell you, you're going to hear the bleating of sheep. You're going to hear the cattle. It's the sound of disobedience. It's the sound of excuses.
It's the sound of justification. It's the sound of half measures. It's the sound of pride. When Samuel was weeping, Saul was making a monument to himself because he won this victory. That's what always happens. If we're not glorifying God, we're glorifying ourselves. We're in charge. God desires obedience over performance. And what I wanted to do was call you out today. Because I know you're sitting in here, and there's several of you in here, and you're thinking B plus is fine. I'm mostly obedient. I'm in the top 15% of the class when it comes to obedience. I'm doing pretty good. Right, God? As a tear trickles down his eye, and he said, no. Not when it matters most. You're not willing to follow me when it really counts. And I'm telling you what to do, and I'm giving you instructions, and I know they're hard, but if you trust me, you would do it. Then that's when I'm Lord of your life. When you really follow me. Let me pray for you this morning. Father, you are the sovereign Lord. You call us to trust you and to obey fully. Lord, forgive us when we offer half-hearted obedience, when we offer excuses. Teach us to listen to your voice even when it challenges us, and to surrender. To surrender our pride, to surrender our fear, to follow you completely. Lord, as we lift this worship song up to you, may surrender not just be the words we sing in the song, but may it be evidence of our heart. And for some of us this morning as we sing, there's a very real and practical thing that's on our mind, it's on our heart, because we know what you said. We know. And we have a decision to make this morning to trust you or not and obey. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. It is our prayer that it's been helpful in this part of your life journey. We invite you to join us at Cusada Sunday mornings for worship. Visit our website at cusadabaptist.org for directions and more information about our church.